The scripture for today, Mark 1, 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah, the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You've probably heard it said that the best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago, and the second best time to plant a tree is today. So I was out planting trees this morning, this afternoon. I planted 14, I think. I have another 14 to go, and I'm planting trees because, well, I like trees. Some of them are several kinds of apple, pear tree, some hazelnut trees, and just some fun trees, oak, maple, several different kinds. Ordered them from the Arbor Foundation. And I wanted to have more trees around our space here where we live because we have a lot of grass to mow, and I'd rather have trees than grass to mow, I know. We're preparing for the future. It might be said that everything that we do before today prepares the way for today. We lived on this spot for about 5 years now, and I've thought about it a number of times. I wonder what was here before. We're kind of on a ridge, and at some point it was a farm, I know, and I wonder what would be able to be planted on this farm. Not much, really. Small fields that maybe could have been tilled with horses or mules. And then later, in the mid-60s, this part of this farm was bought by Bob. Bob wanted to live here, he with his young family, so he had a house built. He had the site prepared, and I actually have the plans that Bob used. He thought it through very well, and this is a nice house. He raised four children here from the 60s on. Actually, right now, we're in what Bob called the conversation pit. The conversation pit. It was in the 60s, of course. We call it the conversation room. And just for, well, we're not 60s anymore, are we? But it's a place to have conversations, and that's why I'm here, even though you're only listening today, and that's your part of the conversation. Well, Bob had his house built. He raised the four children here. And as part of his preparation, he actually leveled off a part of the lot for a tennis court because he and his wife enjoyed playing tennis. They thought it would be fun to have a court right outside the house. Plans didn't work out quite as they thought. Later in life, his wife suffered from depression and continued until her death a number of years ago. Bob lived here then by himself for a couple of years until he died now, I think 7 years ago. The plan was, he had been preparing this along, that one of his children would move in here. One of his sons already lives next door, but that didn't work out either. We learned about the property, talked to the friend who lived next door, and we walked around this spot just about 6 years ago now and worked out a deal. Because Joanne and I could see what we wanted to do with it. We had plans. We had things we were preparing for. So we moved in 5 years ago. I put a little kitchenette into the basement, preparing for the day when I was going to tear out all the walls in the main living area and have an open floor plan, renovate the kitchen entirely, which we then did. So it's now 5 years since we've done that. We're living here. preparing the way. You get the theme, right? Bob building the house, us buying, preparing. It was some wilderness for a couple of months as we lived here. We had a place to sleep, so it wasn't that bad. And we had a vision for where we were going. We were preparing the way. Those who prepare the way for us are important, and we could have numbers of lists of these people. Just in one particular area, we think more recently of Rosa Parks, who, you know, was at the forefront of the Montgomery bus boycott for refusing to leave her seat. She was a forerunner, the preparer for many others in the civil rights movement, which continues to this day. I did not know until recently, and you may not either, that 3 years before, Sarah Evans also refused to give up her seat on an Alabama bus and was arrested. A few months before Rosa Parks, Claudette Colvin also stayed in her seat and was also arrested. It doesn't diminish the inspiring bravery of Rosa Parks that two prophets came before her, preparing the way. We don't always hear about prophets, do we? Preparing the way is not always about yourself. In fact, it's usually not about yourself. It's about those who will follow. You go into the wilderness of unknown, of new, to prepare the way for them. John appears in the wilderness, which some see as foreboding, a fearful place. A place of threat, uncertainty. And yet it's equally a place, and maybe more so, where people can go and grow and go through. Driven by the Spirit of God, as it will be later said, Jesus, they go through the wilderness to get to the other side, the place of blessing. The wilderness is a sacred journey. And so people were drawn to that wilderness and to John because he was preparing a way. His words, his phrases come straight from Isaiah 40, an earlier prophet, and the hearers would have recognized them. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness makes straight a desert, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. Prepare the way, speak comfortably. His message was one of repenting and forgiving sin, which simply meant, long before our fire and brimstone evangelists, that he proclaims there's nothing if you turn toward God from preventing us from coming toward God. And he lives the part of the prophet, not worried about appearances or being impressive. He simply bears the message. He prepares the way. Comfort. Comfort my people, says God. Speak tenderly. In many ways, our current state of the world feels like a bit of wilderness. Many of you are, like me, tired these days. Tired, maybe a little angry, and distressed about a lot of things. There are certain people I would like to tell certain things in no uncertain terms. Daily fight the impulse, shout at the television, sometimes don't fight that impulse, to scream at people I've never met, and some of those that I do know. I think that if I could just set them straight, they would surely change or at least stop harming other people. Shouting at them, though, rarely works. It leads to more anger and resentment. Don't ask how I know. I want to do anything but speak tenderly. A couple of years ago, we were visiting San Antonio, Texas. Our daughter was in voluntary service there. We got to know San Antonio Mennonite Church. If you're ever there Sunday, check it out. We got to know the people there fairly well. And I remember one particular day during the sharing time. It's a church about the size of Whitmer Heights. A man named John, no coincidence, I think, John stood up and said, you know, this doesn't happen to me. So I just felt like I needed to share it. He said, I was on my way to drop my daughter off at school one morning, and as I was dropping her off, I saw an argument between a man and another woman, and it really seemed like he was very angry at her, but he didn't know her. He was a stranger, and he yelled at this woman, and well, he just watched this happen and then moved on. He said, no, as I was going about my morning, I decided that I was going to stop at Home Depot, even though I really wasn't sure what I needed there. And so I did. I walked into Home Depot, and there, standing in line at the cash register, was this man who had been shouting at the woman. He said, what do I do here? He said, John said he walked over to this man, and he didn't know what else to say. He simply said, I just feel like I want to tell you that God loves you. And the man started saying, I don't want any of your religious stuff, and I don't want to hear all that. And John said, no, I'm not sharing any religious stuff. I'm just saying, I don't know why. God loves you. He said the man started crying. So here's the suggestion. This Advent season, speak tenderly. Hear John's words as comfort. John offers people a chance to leave behind the things that lead to anger, resentment, and fear, and to be freed from sin. He offers us that chance. And the rough places will be made even. This is, of course, the same impression, the same feeling when we listen to the other Gospels, telling us how God comes to love us as a little child. Speak tenderly. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Amen.